to you.
Thank you. Yeah, this is part of my dissertation work, which I completed this year, and which dealt with the interaction of macroeconomic actors. These are policy makers, private actors, or actors acting in the market like trade unions. And especially here in this presentation, I will concentrate on two policymakers, not one policymaker, and that is the European Central Bank, or Central Bank in general, and trade unions and their interaction. And I will show you two proposals how to reach a higher employment level in the European Monetary Union within the European Macroeconomic Dialogue, which are based on uncooperative game theoretic methodology. And yeah, so we can start this. First, I want to say something about this European Macroeconomic Dialogue as an introduction, and then progress towards a post-Keynesian model within which which can be used as a baseline model to make game theoretic considerations. And I will make inquiry into two kinds of games. The first one, the central bank takes over the lead, and then the unions follow. And in the second one, the trade unions take over the lead. That's quite conventional, and we will show what are the preconditions then to reach a high employment level. And lastly, I want to also take a look on what European trade unions or their highest association says regarding this topic. So which one of the two proposals is maybe from their point of view, or maybe from their statements, the more appropriate one, if we can progress in such a way. So firstly, let's start with the European Macroeconomic Dialogue. It's pretty much based on the inspiration that macroeconomic actors can reach cooperative gains if they cooperate, if they don't are not obstacles towards each other. And there are three independent actors which can be considered: the central bank, which is assumed to have mainly effects on the price level in the conventional view, but in our view, it has also employment effects, so policy. The fiscal policy, which can control fiscal balances and maybe can influence employment and the price level from a post-Keynesian perspective. And the trade unions, again, I have here the conventional view. They shall control the employment level, but in the post-Keynesian view, they also have an influence on the prices. So we have joint influences of the actors considered, which can be a base for cooperative gains. And in the last years, there have been counter-movements to the mentioned orthodox view, which have stressed these interaction effects, that there can be cooperative gains reached in a cooperative equilibrium. And I just want to mention Nordhaus, Bofinger and Ekerlof's recent paper in the American Macroeconomic Review. So, and also in practice, there have been counter movements. In 1999, the European Macroeconomic Dialogue was set into place, and so far has evolved somehow. And for example, in the UK, there's a new macroeconomic framework which explicitly also takes into consideration the interplay of fiscal policy and central bank policy. So let's have a look on the facts. Maybe that's not such a good table, or this table doesn't look so nicely for the European macroeconomic dialogue. As we see in the currency areas, there's not such a dialogue, such as the UK and USA. Things seem to have evolved better in the years here, covered here, since 1999 to 2006. It just looks slightly better if one looks at the capital figures, but nevertheless we see here doesn't have to be, doesn't seem to have been affected so far, and that's why that's the starting point of my analysis. What can be improved? Yeah. Now we'll introduce Wood's painted model, which is a basis for the paper. There we see there's a demand equation, aggregate demand, which depends on several factors. There's a supply equation, the Z curve. And we have a wage and a price equation. The wage setting depends on institutional factors, so it doesn't have to be the conventional Phillips curve. Under certain circumstances, institutional factors can very well suppress this logic. Yeah, then, as this is not so much, or let me say it's open, this model, we also have the possibility that the central bank can have such a Taylor rule policy. It doesn't have to have it, but the baseline is it has this Taylor rule policy, that's ICB, which depends on the price and output gap. Yeah. So, and let me.
What's the Taylor rule?
The Taylor rule is a certain kind of interest rule which depicts a certain monetary reaction function. So, if output overshoots the target level, then we have to raise the interest rates. Yeah. That's just the basis for the analysis. In order to do a game theory analysis, I have to introduce the utility functions of the actors considered. So I've done this here rather as schematic for the central bank and the trade unions, very general. But we see in both functions prices included, so there's a possible conflict of interest is shown up in these functions, and the employment level as well. And there's also basis for these assumptions if you look at the literature about these macroeconomic actors. And here there are some inspirations of literature after. So now I have to progress quite fastly and introduce the first game. And this is a sequential game where the central bank takes over the lead. That means that it acts first, and after that, the trade unions set their money wages, and a joint outcome evolves from that. So I've just reduced the possible strategies to two for each player in order to make the analysis tractable. And the central bank can reduce interest rates to stimulate an employment expansion, or she can abstain from it. So leave everything unchanged, maybe at a high unemployment level. If the central bank doesn't act progressively to advance employment, to raise employment, then the trade unions are locked in a situation where they cannot raise wages or cannot show possibly also aggressive behavior. If they are given the chance, that means that employment expansion has occurred, they can also behave in two ways. The first way is that they have a moderate behavior, not leading to the well-known wage-price spiral. The second way is that they can also behave aggressively, which has occurred in the past time, so maybe that's should not be excluded from the analysis. Now the reasoning for the lead is I've given here. It could be an independent signal from the central bank side that we can act first, and the others have to follow. It's quite unconventional, as I showed you. The second reason is that the central bank can also meet the central bank. The board of the central bank meets quite frequently, so they can fastly revise the action if there's any sign of this which price spiral occurring. And then they would draw back the cutback from it, but that policy. So that is a graphic exposition of the
possible combinations of employment and prices in the game. I hear U for unemployment, P for prices, and the fallback position, that's why I have, is high unemployment equilibrium, where the central bank has abstained from the employment-friendly policy. Then there are two Phillips curves. I don't assume one Phillips curve. One is flat, where that shows moderate behavior of the trade unions, and one is the conventional Phillips curve, which is steep. And so the central bank first chooses the interest rate and can reduce unemployment, and then there are two possible reactions. Yeah, these are the points C and T. T for temptation, because the trade unions are tempted to raise wages if given the chance. And C is the cooperative point. Maybe they are so happy with the situation that they want it to be continued. So that game is based on asymmetric information. I have introduced the possibility that the trade unions are really cooperatively oriented. That's maybe the orientation behind their rather positive reference to the European macroeconomic dialogue, at least if one reads the documents. I will come to this later. And the second possibility is another kind of preference of the trade unions, where they would prefer aggressive wage policy if given the chance. And this is reflected in these tables, which are values between 0 and 1. So D and E and C values are between 0 and 1. It's normalized, so to say. And C is the fallback payment for the central bank that she can get anyways. If she risks something, then we are in the left diagram, and she can get a possible payment of 1 here in this. If she risks something, she tests and can get this in the optimal case. But if that is exploited, because trade unions don't want to, what is it? If that is exploited because they are behaving aggressively, because you get there the highest payoff, then the central bank has a big loss, so you get 0 payoff. The other way around is shown here. When the trade unions are cooperating from their preference, then the central bank very well gets this high payoff of 1, and the trade unions are also satisfied. They also get 1, the highest. But that's not everything. From this table, the central bank cannot optimize. There must, something is missing, and that is a probability estimation of the preferences of the trade union. And if this is given, this is this P1 here, then the central bank can optimize. And it can be shown that there's an equilibrium. I do this very fast. If the game is repeated, this equilibrium is also more a high employment equilibrium is also more probable. This is shown here. If P is greater than this payoff, this minor payoff of the central bank power is high, then there's a moderation, or there's a first test by the central bank, and there's a higher employment equilibrium. So the farther or the higher the number of repetitions, the better for the employment friendly outcome. I progress here. There's also a probability, of course, where there's no employment expansion, then the central bank maximizes in a way that's not reliable to give the stimulus to the economy. The strategy, the interesting thing is that also the uncooperative trade union behaves in a strategic way and optimizes, and can be optimal for the uncooperative trade union to be moderate first, because she can get the second highest payoff. That's reputation effects of the game. Yeah, so that is a graphical exposition. I jump over it, and that's the three main findings within this model. And the first I've mentioned already, a repeated game increases the probability of test given by the central bank. And the second is related with this C parameter, which has a very easy interpretation. The C is the weighting of the central bank conservativeness, that's the pricing component in the utility function, towards their employment friendliness. So high C means there's a high preference for price stability as compared to employment, high employment. So if that C is too high, then there's no chance for employment expansion, also in the post-Keynesian model. And the third one is, that is what I mentioned. Yes. Yeah, the third one is related with the trade unions. If there's the initial probability is too low for a cooperative preference, then also nothing happens in the direction of full employment, because the central bank is too regarded too risky. Okay, that's the first game I wanted to depict. The second game is not for me. That's a proposal of the Lean. And there the trade unions take over the lead. And this here is the form of a cooperative game. In his book he gave actually two forms of the game. And that's rather optimistic about cooperation. But it only works if the trade unions are moderate in the first place. I put the same name for strategies, but it means actually more moderate than in the reputation one. Because it means really wage restraint, like between 0 and 1%, wage increases between 0 and 1%. Then the central bank could find it rewarding to test. And I didn't include the graphical exposition here, but this could be interpreted as a speculative leadership of trade unions. They choose a point on the reaction contour of the central bank if the central bank behaves in a symmetric way. So if there's low inflation, they raise employment. That's the idea behind it. And yeah, some of the results are listed here, but I must be really fast now as time progresses, and want to just mention the official position of the European Trade Union Conference. There was a resolution in 2000 where you can read quite clearly what the orientation is, which by bargaining, firstly, the strategic interaction is mentioned explicitly, also the macroeconomic dialogue, and that's why this text can be interpreted in this way. The executive committee notes that the guideline is built upon a flexible formula which encompasses inflation and productivity. That's a formula which is more in favor of the first equilibrium which I just depicted, which is not a too far wage restraint scenario. It's just based on an assumption that wage policy is inflation neutral. And they don't want to have this wage restraint scenario, as it seems. But then, that's my arguing. We need the first one is the right model to depict.
Yeah. Thank you for.